A brand new scale from Fitbit, a new feature phone, Toshiba's latest Android tablet, and a long-awaited Ultrabook from Dell. It's all coming up on Before You Buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by Cashfly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. To get my special offer, visit Stamps.com, click the radio microphone, and enter Before You Buy at Stamps.com, offer code Before You Buy. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. Leo Laporte here. Time for Before You Buy. This is the product review show we do on Twit that incorporates everybody on the Twit staff. We just get as many products as we can for loan. And then ask, the Twit staff, we sent out an email saying, hey, we've got, the brand new Toshiba, Excite. Anybody want it? And then the people raise their hand and we let them review it. And it's kind of fun. Coming up, in fact, in just a bit, our studio manager, John Slonina, with a brand new TV. He's got his eyes on this one, I think. And I've got, look at that. That's cute. Brand new from LG and thin, too. And I've got, speaking of thin, the new Dell Ultrabook. I'll take a look at that as well. But let's start with Eileen Rivera.
It's her last Before You Buy.
My esteemed producer who's moving on to greener pastures. She's got a job working for Molly Wood. Dang her. Curse you, Molly Wood. We always give her the Android products review. And so she took a look at this. It's a low price, super thin ICS Android tablet called the Toshiba Excite 10 LE. Well, Eileen, did it excite you?
Hey everyone, Eileen Rivera with Twit.tv and Before You Buy, and of course they gave me another Android device. Got another tablet here. Woo, what is this? This is the Toshiba Excite 10 LE, the thinnest, the world's thinnest and lightest 10.1-inch Android tablet. So that's its claim to fame, but what else does it have? Let me walk you through some of the specs. Well, here it is, the 10.1-inch display. And it's 1280 by 800. It's a TFT LCD display, and it's got tough Gorilla Glass here, so you could throw it into your bag and shouldn't scratch. All right, so let's take a look at the display. It's okay, not amazing. The viewing angles are pretty good around here, but it doesn't really dazzle like some of the other tablets that I've seen, like the Transformer Prime and the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7.7 and its Super AMOLED display. Again, it is super thin. It's 7.7 millimeters or 0.3 inches and 1.2 pounds. Headphone jack, micro USB, micro HDMI, which is pretty cool. Micro SD. I did have a hard time pushing the card into the slot, believe it or not. Took me a few seconds there. Didn't easily pop in. Up front here is a 2-megapixel camera, and on the back is a 5-megapixel camera. A little noisy on the uptake, not the greatest camera, but it does also 1080p HD recording. One other thing is that it is running Ice Cream Sandwich, the latest operating system for Android. And that is a great thing because a lot of tablets had been shipping lately with Honeycomb, the last operating OS for Android. And now we're seeing a plethora of Android tablets coming out with 4.0.3 and above. And that just means there's a little bit more of a fluid experience. In terms of performance, this is a dual-core tablet, and it's a 1.2 gigahertz processor with 1 gig of RAM. It's okay in terms of speed and performance. I mean, I've had other dual-core devices that, frankly, run much faster than this. But it does an adequate job for loading web pages, as you can see here. Not too bad. We've got a lot of information on twit.tv. Here it comes. Here it comes. Maybe it will. Maybe I get, oh, there we go. Not so bad, but again, not super fast. Let me do something a little bit information intensive, but hopefully less live intensive. Here we go. To us. Oh. Jerkola. There we go. And you can see here, it scrolls pretty decently. It's okay. It'll get the job done. Once again, the weight of this device allows you to hold it with one hand and not get tired like you normally do with even like the iPad or other slightly heavier devices. It could weigh on your hand and you'd need to shift a little bit more or just kind of shake out your hand when you're using it. The speakers are on the bottom of the device here, and they're not really great sound. The sound is pretty tinny, and I'll just play a little bit of music here. Speakers here. Again, I've heard better on a tablet, on other tablets that have been recently launched as well. But again, that might not be a deal breaker for you. 16 gig, and it is expandable with the micro SD card up to 64 gigs, which is good. But it is 500. I've seen it on retail for between $450 to $529. So depending upon where you're going to purchase it, some vendors have sales and whatnot. Let me launch some video so you could see what that would look like. So with the screen, you know, decent video, decent colors on the device. Again, not amazing, but maybe you don't need that. Battery life, just okay. I can get through most of the day, but by the end of the day, I definitely have to plug this bad boy in. That doesn't normally happen with tablets, so that's a little bit disappointing. And what is going on here? This is the wallpaper that Toshiba is shipping with it, and as you can see as I move, that's not very good. All right, the pros and cons. Well, first of all, the weight. The way they build this, the world's lightest and thinnest 10.1-inch tablet, that is a definite pro. The micro SD slot, I really do like, so you can expand this up to 64 gigs. Cons, battery life, not so great. Kind of got me through the day, but I've worked with tablets before that you can go, you know, a day and a half at least without having to charge. Display, it's okay. There's a little bit of pixelation. The LCD technology that they're using is all right. We could see on different viewing angles, but it just doesn't look amazing when you first turn it on. And the performance, a little laggy. It's a dual core machine or a tablet, but I don't know. I guess I expected more, even with it having ice cream sandwich. All right, is this a buy, try, or don't buy? I have to say, as compared to the Transformer Prime, as compared to the Transformer Pad, and even the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7 2.0, this just does not stack up. And on top of that, the price between $450 to $500, unfortunately, this is a definite don't buy. I'm Eileen Rivera with twit.tv, and before you buy, thanks for watching.
Well, so much for that tablet. Thank you, Eileen Rivera. I think we may see more of her. Eileen's going to continue to host All About Android on this network. And I think from time to time we'll have to give her an iPhone or something to drive her crazy with. Now, I want to bring in John Salinas. John's getting set up. He's going to review a brand new, very sweet 55-inch display from LG. And as John's getting set up to show us that display, I want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor. And we're really happy to have them. They're sponsoring the show since day one, and I understand why, because I've been using them since day one. It's stamps.com. Stamps.com lets you print official U.S. postage with your computer and your printer. You don't need a postage meter anymore. You don't need anything. You just need stamps.com, a computer, and a printer, Mac or PC. Stamps.com even comes with a USB scale. You just plug it into the back of the computer, throw your letter or package on there, and it'll print exactly the right postage every time. It'll fill out forms for international priority and express mail, so you don't have to do that anymore. Huh, you just basically don't have to go to the post office, because after you've got your package ready to go, the mail carrier comes and picks it up. You can even schedule a free pickup with the post office. See, the post office loves Stamps.com. They wishes everybody used it. That's why, did I say they wishes? They wish. The post office wishes everybody would use it, because it would save them money. That's why they offer discounts of 21% on express mail, up to 15% on priority mail. If you're an eBay or Amazon seller, you'll love Stamps.com, because it takes the information from the website and automatically fills out the mailing list and everything. If you use QuickBooks, you can do invoices direct from the QuickBooks address book. I can go on and on, but why bother when you can try it right now? Absolutely no risk trial offer. You just go to Stamps.com. Now, do you see on the front they say $80 trial? No, don't do that. You want to click the microphone there in the upper right-hand corner and do the $110 no risk trial. It includes $55 in postage, the free digital scale worth $50. You do pay shipping and handling. It's a nominal fee. $5 supply kit and a four-week trial, all when you go to Stamps.com and use this special offer code, before you buy. That's one word. So go to Stamps.com, click the radio microphone, enter the offer code before you buy, and try Stamps.com. I'm talking to you seriously now. You just have to have this. It will save you so much time. It'll save you money. I put more stamps on just so I want to make sure the thing gets through. You don't do that anymore. You always have the right postage. Stamps.com. Now, we're going to review the LG 55LM 7600. Now, I've been reviewing TVs for this show, and I thought it would be good to get somebody else in here looking at these new displays, especially since this is a 3D, and everybody knows I hate 3D.
And I really like 3D.
John Slanina loves 3D.
Not so much in the theater. I do have a little problem watching it in the theater, but with a 3D TV, I think the depth issue isn't as dramatic as it is in a theater, and I have enjoyed the Samsung active 3D TV we had, plus this new LG with the passive glasses.
When we got that Samsung in here, you immediately got some 3D movies in and stuff. What did you use to review the LG?
Well, the one thing I have that I have been using is it's an IMAX Space Station 3D movie. Documentary.
It is beautiful, by the way. I love it.
Yeah, I really enjoy watching that in 3D. And
so we got some other movies here. Let's see. You've got, this is the, whose phone? What is that sound?
Oh, it's Chad.
Chad! So you had the, is it his phone?
Yeah.
Well, here, give it to me.
It's an alarm. It's just an alarm for Twitch.
I'll throw it. This is the IMAX. Just so people know, this is the IMAX 3D of the ISS space station. Isn't there a closer shot than that somewhere?
We changed the product shot to the TV.
Where is it? Oh, it's on the TV now.
Yeah, we made it wide for the
TV.
So
I'll do that.
Yeah, so I did watch that both on the Samsung with the active glasses,
right,
and it looked pretty good.
And on this LG.
The idea with passive glasses is it cuts the brightness a little bit. I was able to watch it in the studio with all the lights out at night, and I didn't think it was an issue. You could take the glasses off and see that it was a little brighter, but with the glasses on, and if you have an environment where you can control the light, I don't think the dimness added by the passive glasses makes that big an issue. At least it didn't for me.
So there's two kinds of glasses you might get with a home TV that has 3D. You get the kind that you get in movie theaters. That's these passive glasses. They don't use batteries. They don't use anything else. It's just a special polarizing plastic in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get the active glasses, which need a battery, and they have shutters.
And they sync to the TV.
And they sync to the TV. The negative, as you say, of the passive glasses is they're somewhat darker than the active glasses.
But that wasn't an issue for me.
Didn't notice it. It's a bright TV.
I was able to take the glasses off and see, yeah, it is considerably darker, but still in the appropriate environment, it looked fine. It looked really good.
And the 3D effect is good. It's strong.
I enjoyed it, yes. And
better than the Samsung or equivalent? Or?
Well, equivalent to the Samsung, what this has that I didn't see on the Samsung was additional controls for the 3D that lets you determine the depth, how far in the TV the 3D effect is going to be, and fine-tune it for where you're sitting. when you're adjusting those controls, you see the changes as you're making the adjustments. So it's pretty easy to fine-tune the 3D for your preference and your sitting location.
The other thing I like about this, because passive glasses don't have batteries, don't have electronics, they're a lot cheaper, they give you a lot more.
We got six pairs.
Six. Most TVs now come with two.
The high-end TVs.
Yeah.
A lot of TVs,
and
you have to buy them.
And it's another 100 or more.
For the active glasses.
For the active glasses. So these are how much to buy new? I mean, six is a good start.
I
think they're about 30 to 50 bucks.
Yeah, very inexpensive. They're just polarized glasses.
Yeah. We should say this list price on this TV is $2,229 bucks.
$1,800 right now at Amazon.
That's not bad.
I would be, for
55 inches.
And that's kind of big for my living room. I have a 40-inch TV now, but it has like a 2.5-inch bezel. So
wait a minute. You got a mouse on there.
We were going to get to that.
All right. Go ahead.
One of the very cool features that makes this TV different from the Sharp and the Samsung we looked at before is the
look at that
Magic Remote, which is like a Wii
LG
controller.
LG was showing this at CES, and so now it's finally come out. So this senses its position in space, so you can use it as a mouse.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Now, I don't like mousing on big TVs.
Well,
where do you find that?
Traditionally, you have cursor keys that allow you to move the cursor around step by step across the screen to go to the different applications and things.
Right.
This took a little while to get used to, maybe a couple of minutes. But once I was used to it, I found that selecting applications, navigating the screens, just as easy, maybe easier than the direction keys.
And you can see that the cursor, the mouse pointer, is pretty big. You're not going to lose that on that 55-inch.
And you have pretty fine control over it.
Yeah.
I can move it where I want to. The thing where this type of pointer really comes in handy is a keyboard, the virtual keyboards. It's a lot easier to select the letters you want with this
instead
on the virtual
up,
keyboard.
Down, left.
So I really like this.
The Magic Remote, they call it.
The limitation of it is, because it's very simple, it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 buttons, a cursor button and a power button and these buttons here. There's no input selector. So to do something like change the input, you have to, you know, pull up a menu and go to the input thing. So
that's kind of a drag.
So,
and there's the menu we should... Now, this is like a lot of the TVs with smart apps. They
so this is just the input
the
menu, but that was the minimum.
Selecting it, HDMI or composite.
So if I go home, I can see that the premium applications are available. They even have a selection of 3D applications. You can customize
these
applications.
I see Netflix, I see Hulu Plus, YouTube, Pandora, the standard, I guess.
Right, and you have access to the web here.
Facebook's on there.
I wanted to talk about 3D a little bit. In the settings, there is a convert 2D to 3D.
Wow.
That is kind of hokey. It's an interesting thing. I imagine there are some things that might look cool on. I was confused when I first wanted to watch 3D because I had the 3D off. I tried to turn it on. It was grayed out. I couldn't turn it on. Turns out it auto detects. So when I put in the 3D Blu-ray, it said, oh, this is 3D content. Do you want me to change to 3D? So even though I was confused at first, once I saw that it's doing it all automatically, and then it gave me the various options within the 3D menu. So,
did you play any 3D games on it at all? Or
no,
just movies.
Yeah, it was just the documentary. I'm not real excited about the different 3D content that's available now, but I imagine in 5 years, almost everything is going to be in 3D. So some of the things that I like more will be available in 3D.
Right. So, anything else you want to talk about before we get to the pros and cons?
Well,
you're using those Emotiva speakers, I see, that Russell Tammany left behind.
We've been watching some Coen Brothers movies, and
got a whole collection here.
I'm a big Coen Brothers fan.
Yeah, we were watching The Big Lebowski last Saturday. We
watched Barton Fink last night, and
it
sounded really good.
Yeah,
what I really like about this TV is how it looks. The picture's great. The brightness is the colors, it's just, everything looks really good. If I can select.
It's a nice black bezel. It does have a silver LG bezel at the bottom. I'm not crazy about that.
But the bezel at the top is almost invisible.
Thin.
And then there's like a half an inch of black. So the glass essentially goes all the way to the edge.
It's also very thin, I mean, which is really nice. I mean, that's a very thin display.
Now, one thing I didn't like about this was the mount. Now, if you could reach over and touch the TV, Maybe grab it
me?
At the top.
You want me to touch the TV?
Well, if you can, like, wiggle it. The mount is not that sturdy.
Whoa!
You know, and we tightened it down
as good as we can. That's a little floppy.
On the other hand, at my house and in a lot of places, we're going to be mounting this on a wall. So it's going to be
and
fine.
And it's thin enough
wall.
And light enough, you really could easily mount this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a good-looking picture. It's certainly a good-looking display. The price is good. It's under $2,000.
It's comparably priced to the other high-end 3D 120 hertz.
And you feel the apps are good? They work well? The Netflix and all the other apps?
Well, Netflix, the one app I played with was Netflix. Yeah. I look forward to the app market maturing.
Right.
I'm looking forward to particular applications being on every TV before too long, if you know which one I'm talking about.
Twit?
Yeah.
Well, that's up to us, not LG, I think. Yeah. So let's get your pros and cons.
Okay, well, the pros are it looks great. The picture looks great. I will be very happy to have something like this in my home. The design looks great with a very thin bezel.
This is you have this set at 120 hertz. It does have that high refresh rate.
I did. And another thing, breaking up the pros and cons, I hook my TV up to it, which at home, I'm using my TV as a second monitor. I hook my computer up to it and text and stuff on the
Looks good?
Yeah, the screen was very readable, even at a close distance. Another pro is going to be this remote.
You liked
it. It's neat. It does let you maneuver, navigate some of the screens more easily, and especially a keyboard.
Yeah.
Typing stuff on a keyboard with this remote is a lot easier than just, you know, left, left, right, right, up, down.
Right.
And the 3D controls, the way you can fine-tune the 3D picture for how far you're sitting away and how much depth you want in the picture, I really like that. On the negative side, the cons I have are, I like the remote, but because it is so simplified, to do something like change the inputs, you have to go into the menus. And so the remote is nice, but it's a little too simplified. You saw that the stand is kind of questionable, and I would definitely mount this on the wall when I get something like this. And the way the smart apps are organized, I presume that eventually, you know, we can customize those apps and put them where we want them. But it's just something I'm not used to. I'm used to the way things are on a computer.
Right.
So those app platforms will mature and we'll be better able to search through those apps and organize them the way we want them. All in all, I'm going to say buy this thing. Great. I think it's comparably priced to other TVs that do similar things, and it looks really good. I have no complaints with the main functions of this TV.
LED edge lit backlight,
right.
LCD TV. It's a 1080p, 120 hertz, 3D built in, apps, smart apps. It has passive glasses and six of them,
which is
the most of any I've heard of on the market. And all of that for $2,229 list, but about $1,800 on Amazon.com.
Uh-huh. And in fact, today, the 47-inch, which would be the model I would be looking at, went down $100, so it's only $1,300 for the 47-inch.
The LG 55LM7600. And our studio manager, John Slanina, with his review. Thank you, John.
It's a beautiful TV.
Yeah, now I'm thinking.
Oh, you're already set up with the projector.
I'm going to have the projector. I'll do a review of that. You watch. All right, time for our mini reviews. This is where we take a product and we do a short review on the show, but turn you to YouTube for the full length review. Everything we do is available on YouTube at youtube.com/twit. Let's kick things off with Liz Romero and the scale. It doesn't tweet, but it is connected to the net. Liz.
Hey guys, this is Liz from Twit, and I'm going to be telling you about the Fitbit Aria scale. This scale right here, which is very fancy looking, this is actually a Wi-Fi scale. It will give you a digital readout of what your weight is, percentage of fat, and it will also take readings of your BMI. Very user-friendly. I was able to set up an additional person, which was my cat, since I don't have any children or anything like that. It does supply up to 8 different invites for people to weigh themselves, show measurement charts. Unfortunately, you do have to have an email to be able to be registered on the scale, which normally your child wouldn't have that. So, as you can see, we're in a bathroom. Normally, people weigh themselves in bathrooms, so I thought it would be only appropriate to show you how to use it in its normal environment. So, what you do is you want to make sure it's on a flat surface. Then we're going to step on the scale. It's going to sense my weight. Then after it's determined my weight, it will tell me a percentage of body fat. And now it's sinking. So we'll bring it up to my computer. Okay, so for the pros for the Fitbit Aria is that it is easy to use. Wi-Fi, setting up, very easy to use. It also has a free app and website interface, which is very knowledgeable and easy on the eyes. Also, a plus is that it can have up to 8 people on this scale. So it's easy for multi-use. One of the cons is, to be used up to 8 people, you have to invite each individual user by email. Some people might not have an email, or they're just too young and shouldn't really have one. Another con is you really need to have a Fitbit to really get the full use out of this, which is $99 additional. I already had one, so I was able to plan out things, and it was worth getting the Fitbit scale to be a component. Another con, if you're not fully committed, you're really not going to get your money's worth out of this. You really need to weigh yourself every day, maybe morning or night, you know, really log your food log and your activity to really gauge what you need to do to get to your goal. So if you have that commitment, I would think, and there's something you really want to strive for, a goal, and you need to see that kind of push in a, you know, your visual person, this would be a buy. All right, this is Liz from Twit, and I just showed you the Fitbit Aria scale.
Hey, Nicole Lee here for Twit. I'm going to interview Burke McQueen here, also works for Twit, and he has reviewed the Samsung Gusto 2 for us here on Before You Buy. Burke, let's just start off here. It's a very basic flip phone, right?
Absolutely. It's about as basic as it gets. Like a 10-year-old flip phone with a pretty decent, an okay camera.
So yeah, it's a very basic flip phone. Construction-wise, you know, there's nothing much to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's sturdy.
Well, it does have a 1.3 megapixel camera, which is takes not that good photos, I'm guessing.
The photos aren't bad, but you know. But you can't tell by the phone.
Right. I mean, you get for what you pay for.
You can't take videos.
Right, of course, because it's a basic phone.
Right.
You know, and I mean, let's just come up front and say it's a basic phone. It won't have your LTE, your 4G, your 3G, your Wi-Fi. I mean, it won't have all that because it's a basic phone.
Absolutely.
Again, you get what you pay for.
It's got a 2-inch screen.
Mm-hmm.
And a very small front screen also.
Right. What do you feel about the keypad? Do you feel it's roomy? Do you feel like you can dial easily?
You have to deal with punching through, you know, the keys send text messages.
Right. How's the call quality?
Call quality is fine.
Do you have any pros at all about this phone?
No, not really.
Okay.
Well, there's this feature called fake call. That's like the only thing really that I even considered for the pro on this phone. And basically, if you can go into the settings under the call settings on the phone. And you can set up a fake phone call with fake user ID. You can record what you want it to say. It'll
kind
call
of a
you.
Weird feature.
Totally.
That's
and it's not in the manual either. For free, you can get a smartphone. You know.
Well, but you have to pay the data. The monthly data plans, right? The reason why people get flip phones is because they usually have like no data plans and all of that.
It's $79 with a 2-year contract.
Right.
It's $200 retail, which is unacceptable. I mean, these should be free.
Well, $200 is without the contract.
Without the contract, just if you wanted to buy the phone, nothing.
No
$200
contract.
For this.
Right. So you would probably say,
do not buy.
Okay. So that's Burke. I'm Nicole, and that's Burke's first review.
Liz Romero and Burke McQueen. Liz, of course, our administrative assistant, and the woman you see bouncing all the time in the background on the ball because she has so much energy. And, of course, Burke McQueen, who fixes everything, makes sure everything works. For our full reviews of both the Samsung Gusto 2 and the Fitbit Aria, visit our website or our YouTube site, youtube.com/twit. We're going to take a break when we come back. Something we've all been waiting for, the first Ultrabook from Dell. How does it stack up to the competition? I'll let you know in a second. But first, a word from Audible.com. Audible, of course, is the audio bookstore that I live by. Every time I'm in the car, I'm listening to Audible. When I'm at the gym, I'm listening to Audible. When I'm doing housework, I'm listening to Audible. Audible's a great way to get reading done at times when you can't hold a book. And by the way, it's not just reading a book. It's living a book. Their narrators are so good, the books just come to life. Right now, I'm reading Stephen King's The Stand, 48 hours, the uncut audition, and it's wonderful. I mean, I cannot put it down. The nice thing is Audible books play on almost everything, on my iPhone, my iPad, my iPod, my Android phones and tablets. Even the Windows Phone app is due any day now for Audible.com. And, of course, computers, things like GPS devices, the Kindle, and a lot more. So you can always listen to Audible books anywhere you are. Right now, I want you to go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy for a free trial. You get a month of Audible. Your first book is free. You can cancel it any time, but that book is yours to keep forever. And you can see this stand, it just is well worth getting with this first trial, because you're going to get a lot of Audible entertainment. But there are 100,000 books on here. There are a ton of books on Audible.com. So choosing your first book might be the biggest challenge you face. It's well worth it. Give it a try. I know you will listen and listen a lot. Anybody who listens to audiobooks or a podcast is going to love audiobooks. audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. All right, time for our last review of the show, and it's this little puppy. Now, I told Nicole Lee, our producer, I said, when the Dell comes in, because Dvorak had one, and I liked the look and the feel, but I said, when the Dell comes in, get it to me for one reason alone. I want to see if I could put Linux on it, because I'm still looking for the Ultra Linux computer. Now, these Ultrabooks are something Intel's been pushing at great expense, really. You could say they're Windows' answer to the MacBook Air. Very thin, usually a wedge-shaped form factor, around 3 pounds. You can usually expect at least an Intel i5 processor in here. Screens are usually around 13 inches. This is a 13-inch screen. Here's an interesting thing about this Dell Ultrabook, though. If you compare it side by side to a MacBook Air. This is the 11-inch MacBook Air. I've got a cover on it, but it's about the same size as a 11-inch MacBook Air. But unlike the MacBook Air, this is a 13-inch screen. And Dell accomplishes that, as you can see, by a much narrower bezel, edge-to-edge Gorilla Glass on this. It really looks beautiful. Same kind of chiclet keyboard as all the Ultrabooks. This one's backlit, which I like, and it's got a nice feel to it. It's also silent, so a great choice for a student who wants to bring this to class. When it comes to ports, this one is pretty typical. It's got USB 2 and USB 3. No HDMI port. Dell chose to go with Mini Display Port instead. I think that's going to soon become a standard. I don't think that's a disadvantage. The only port that's really missing, in my opinion, is an SD card reader, and I think it would be nice to have an SD card reader on this. The bottom is interesting because this is a combination of, I think, aluminum, magnesium, and carbon fiber. It's not exactly the aluminum of a MacBook Air. And underneath here, this is a carbon fiber bottom. It's kind of rubberized, so it's got a grippy feel to it. And you see these ridges, which keep it raised up a little bit, and that helps with the cooling. It runs very coolly. Battery life's a little bit of a disappointment, a little bit under 6 hours compared to, say, 7 hours on some of the other Ultrabooks, or rather on the MacBook Air, and even 8 hours on some of the other Ultrabooks. 6 hours is, you know, it's okay. It's not horrible. And remember, you're not getting a big, heavy case with this. The thing that I was most interested in was, could I put Ubuntu on here? And the answer is resoundingly a yes. Ubuntu 12.04 runs on here with the camera works. The only exception is some of the extra features of the glass trackpad are not functional. But in almost every other respect, this is a fully functional Linux laptop. And in fact, I found this really easy to install. It comes with 64-bit Windows 7. I just ran the Ubuntu WUBI installer, W-U-B-I, which runs right from within Windows. And it was easy as pie to make this a dual boot Linux and a Windows machine. So this is Ubuntu running right now, 12.04, and it looks really good. This is the Dell XPS 13, a 13-inch Ultrabook, brand new from Dell. People have been waiting for this. It's light, it's thin, it feels a little more dense and heavy than the MacBook Air, and I think that's due probably to the glass screen here. Nice 13-inch screen. You'll see, though, off-axis viewing, not as good as the MacBook Air, not great. It is also a glossy screen for people who don't like glossy screens. That's pretty much the standard everywhere. I would say, as far as pros go, you get more bang for your buck in terms of size. It's a nice size computer. I like the keyboard. It feels really good. A great trackpad. It runs Linux as well as Windows 7. Runs Linux very well. As far as the cons go, no SD card slot. That's kind of something missing. Not the best battery life either. Price on this, as equipped, this is a 256 gigabyte SSD drive with an i7 processor from Intel, about $1,300. But for an i5 with 128 gigabytes, $999, that's pretty much the same price as a MacBook Air, a little bit more than the competition. But I think you're getting a really nice computer. Built-in Intel HD 3000 graphics, so it's not going to be a gaming machine. But that's, again, comparable with all the other Ultrabooks, and in fact with the MacBook Airs as well. This is a nice, light laptop. If you need a great traveler that runs Windows, I absolutely wouldn't hesitate recommending the Dell XPS 13 Ultrabook. It's a definite buy. That's it for Before You Buy for this week. I hope you've enjoyed our reviews. As I said, you can find them all on YouTube, youtube.com/twit. That's where you'll find all our shows. Thanks to all of our reviewers, including Burke McQuinn. Is this his first? I think it's his first review on the show. Also to John Slanina, his first as well. We got a couple of newbies on here. Good to have everybody on the show. Of course, Eileen Rivera as well. Thank you for being here. We do this show. We kind of tape the wraps for the show. That's what we call the part where I talk every Thursday about 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time. You're more than welcome to tune in. But, of course, you can always download it after the fact at twit.tv. Thanks for being here. Thanks to Nicole Lee, our producer. Thanks to you for joining us. We're going to say a fond farewell to Eileen Rivera, who's doing her last week here at the Twit Brick House before she moves on to the brand-new show Molly Wood's doing for CBS. That's pretty exciting. We'll miss Eileen, but we're glad to know that she's still going to be around occasionally for reviews and Before You Buy and every week for All About Android. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. Remember, you got to watch Before You Buy. Bye-bye.